Chapter 3, Jealousy. A secret here and a secret there, there are no secrets that time does not reveal. Jean Racine John started packing for his trip to Montreal when he stumbled upon an old wooden box that was locked away. This was not the first time he saw this box. He would always ask Hassan what he kept in inside it, but Hassan would always avoid telling the whole truth by saying things like, "It's just some stuff that I want to keep for myself, nothing important." John noticed an old notebook beside the box. He picked it up and saw a poem on one of the pages, which read, "I still remember the day I said goodbye to you, unbearable pain beyond all limits. I thought I could forget about you. It wasn't possible because I still miss you. I still want to see you fall asleep in my arms, but that only a beautiful dream like it was now. Nothing but a memory and pain. I will always be a slave to that memory. The pain was born on the day you died." John kept reading, but some of it was written in Arabic, and so he decided to put it back in its place. He always wondered what Hassan was hiding from him, but now he was devastated to find out that Hassan was not truly his. Hassan was still living with a broken heart, and John felt like maybe Hassan was never able to fall in love with him due to his past. He started feeling the emptiness of the room resemble the emptiness that began to form inside him. He was staring into the abyss, talking to himself, "Was it all a lie? No matter what I do, he will always be in Hassan's heart." John turned to look at the time but saw Hassan standing at the door. "You're mistaken, you are the only one I am in love with." John was not satisfied with the answer, and so, he started asking about the box and the notebook. Hassan was not comfortable talking about it, but he asked John to check the date on the notebook. The date was before Hassan had even met John. Hassan said with tears in his eyes, "Don't make a fool of yourself. You know I am deeply in love with you." John quickly realized his mistake and hugged Hassan. He noticed that Hassan's temperature was a bit high and he was breathing heavily. John wanted to take Hassan to the hospital, but he refused, claiming that it will be okay after he gets some sleep. John continued his packing while Hassan was able to catch a short nap. Hassan woke up and found John watching TV downstairs. John had ordered pizza and the two sat together to enjoy their meal. "I am sorry for what I did today, it's just that I love you to the extent that it overtakes my heart and consumes my soul," said John. Hassan reassured him that he wasn't angry at him and that he realizes the emotional baggage that he has burdened John with. They ate their pizza while watching one of their favorite shows, Hot in Cleveland. The two laughed until Hassan fell asleep on John's chest while he was holding him from behind. John loved watching Hassan sleep on him, but he noticed that Hassan started breathing heavily again and his body was twitching. Another dream, John thought. He picked Hassan up in his arms and took him to the bedroom. The two fell asleep holding each other tightly. John sees himself in a school playground holding a camera. He tries taking some pictures but is unable to. He notices that he is barefoot and it is raining. There are no water droplets but small pieces of pictures. He looks up to the sky and the small pieces of pictures start burning to ash. The ash starts covering the whole playground and he then sees a butterfly with burning wings. Suddenly, he notices a man on the ground crying. John asks the man if he is okay. Instead of replying, he just hands him a picture. It is a black and white picture of a man, screaming. He looks at the man but he starts fading away just as the rest of the playground. John panics and closes his eyes and wakes up. Hassan hugs him and says, "It was a bad dream, but the real nightmare starts now," stabbing John with a knife. This is when John actually woke up, horrified. "These nightmares are becoming frequent now," he thought to himself, then moved closer to Hassan and tried falling back to sleep. A trip to the hospital, it's healthy to be sick sometimes. Henry David Thoreau. In the morning, John and Hassan were having breakfast while Kara wasn't home. Hassan hadn't said a word since he woke up, so, John asked if he was all right. "I am okay, just feeling a bit dizzy." Hassan did not want to trouble John as he knew that he had an important meeting today. John rushed to work and Hassan had to get an Uber. On his way to work, Hassan felt a throbbing pain in his chest and it was becoming extremely difficult to breathe. He managed to make it to work, but Ethan instantly noticed that something was wrong. He asked Hassan if he was all right. Hassan replied weakly, "I cannot breathe." Ethan replied, "Let me take you to the hospital, should I call John?" Hassan did not want to upset John on his big day, so he asked Ethan not to tell him. He rushed Hassan to the hospital and hurriedly began to check him in. Hassan's condition was worsening by the minute, and it was taking a long time to get him a room. Ethan could see that Hassan was trying to hide his pain, but it was just too unbearable for him. "I wish I could take away your pain," Ethan said to himself. After waiting for 2 hours, they were finally able to find a room. A physician entered and said, "Hi, I am Dr. Andrew and this is Nicole, the nurse who will be with us. Hassan, can you describe the pain that you are having?" After getting some information from Hassan and his blood sample, Dr. Andrew consulted the attending doctor. The two discussed his condition and believed that it might be pneumonia. However, they needed an X-ray and a CT scan just to be sure. Dr. Andrew informed Hassan, "They will be taking you for your X-ray and CT scan shortly. How is your pain now?" To this, Hassan replied, "I'm feeling much better. The nurse gave me a painkiller. By the way, you are adorable and my friend here is single." Ethan embarrassingly interrupted, "Excuse my friend, he didn't mean what he said." Hassan joked, "Look at him, he is so cute." Ethan surprisingly asked, "What have you given him? He is never so flirty or humorous in such a situation." Andrew explained that since this was the first time Hassan had taken a painkiller, it could be influencing him. However, Hassan kept making comments to set Ethan up with Andrew. Andrew ended the conversation by telling Hassan that he is into short guys and left the room. Ethan said, "He was into you." Hassan replied, "Yeah, but I am in a serious relationship." Ethan joked, "It isn't written on your forehead. Plus, you are so different from the other guys, anyone can fall for you." After the tests were conducted, Dr. Andrew came into the room with the results. "Hassan, you have symptomatic subsegmental PE that requires only short-term anticoagulation for 3 months," explained the doctor. Hassan and Ethan did not understand the scientific terms, and so Andrew had to break it down for them. "You have 2 clots in your right lung, and the pain you experience is the dying tissue." Andrew scheduled a follow-up appointment with a hematologist and prescribed him rivaroxaban, an anticoagulant medication used to treat and prevent blood clots. As Andrew was leaving the room, he asked Ethan to speak to him outside. Hassan had fallen asleep by the time. "I want you to take care of him," said Andrew, thinking that the two of them had a special bond. Ethan explained that Hassan is already in a relationship. "I can see he is very special for you. At first, I was jealous, I thought you were his partner," said Andrew. "Years ago, I had the chance but ended up losing him to another guy," replied Ethan. Andrew was interested in finding out more, so he asked Ethan to meet over a cup of coffee and they exchanged their phone numbers. "Love is a remedy for all, treat a sick man with medicine and a sad man with music." Amid Kalantri, Ethan called John to tell him about Hassan's condition. John was busy in his meeting and was not able to come. He asked Ethan to take care of him till he gets there. Hassan had woken up by now and was ready to be discharged from the hospital. Ethan took him home and made soup for him. "You are spoiling me," said Hassan with a smile on his face. "You enjoy the soup, I will go get your medication till then. By the way, where is Kara?" asked Ethan. "Kyle and Kara have taken their relationship further. I am so happy for them, they are spending more time with each other," replied Hassan. Hassan starts asking Ethan about Andrew, and when he finds out that Ethan was able to get Andrew's number, he couldn't stop teasing him. "I am in love with someone else," said Ethan. "I know he broke your heart," whispered Hassan. "No, he didn't. I never told him how I feel about him," said Ethan dramatically. Ethan came back from the pharmacy and he ran into John at the door. John thanked Ethan for being there and asked about all the details. Ethan informed him that Hassan had 2 clots in his right lung. Upon hearing this, and the pain Hassan must be going through, John rushed inside to hug his loved one. He decided to cancel his trip, but Hassan reassured him that Kara and Ethan would be there to take care of him. Ethan was on his way home when his phone started to ring. It was Kara. She had called to find out how Hassan was doing, as John and Hassan didn't tell her much and asked her to stay with Kyle and focus on their relationship for now. He said the same things to comfort her and told her he'd take care of Hassan, so she doesn't have anything to worry about. Hassan reeked of the antiseptic chemicals used in hospitals and decided to take a shower with John. John stripped Hassan and checked him out from top to bottom. He bit his lip and whispered to Hassan, "I want to eat you." Meanwhile, Kyle and Kara were dancing surrounded by dimly lit candles. Kyle idealized her as she had everything he ever wanted in his partner. Kara felt alive and happy at the moment and wanted to open her heart to him. Every relationship is like a dance. In the beginning, when the song is slow, it is easy to follow each other's steps. However, as soon as the rhythm changes and one person makes a wrong move, then the whole dance is disrupted. The same can be applied to a relationship. When things are going smoothly, it is very easy to manage the relationship, but one slightly wrong move can shake the foundations of it. Everything was going smoothly for Kara and Kyle. They had managed to come close in a short time as they shared their sorrows and had opened up to each other about their pasts. They had started getting more physical. Kara felt electricity run through her body whenever Kyle kissed her. She thought she had forgotten this feeling years ago and that no one would ever be able to make her happy, but now, the butterflies had once again invaded her stomach. That night, everyone had fallen asleep peacefully and with their loved ones. John was holding Hassan, while Kara fell asleep in Kyle's arms. This was the first time in years when he slept with a smile on his face. Brian fell asleep holding on to Hassan's painting. The only person who was struggling to sleep was Ethan. He looked at the empty bed space beside him and hoped that someday someone would be there. Revenge is a dish, best served cold. Not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die, and Lamotte the next morning, John prepared for his flight to Montreal. He asked Hassan to take care of himself and update him every now and then. Hassan had taken his medication and was feeling dozy. John tucked him into bed and kissed him goodbye. 15 minutes after John had left, Brian came over to the house and opened the door using the key that Hassan kept under the plants. Brian went to the room he was staying in to grab some of his things. While making his way there, he noticed that Hassan's door was left open. He entered and saw Hassan lying in bed, and there were some medications on his nightstand. He picked them up and read that anyone who takes these will sleep like a rock. Knowing this, he removed the blanket on top of Hassan. He was completely naked under the sheets and Brian said to himself, "Wow, you are hairy, just the kind of man I want." Brian knew he had the perfect setting for his revenge that he had been planning for some time. He took out his phone and started taking pictures of Hassan, naked in bed. Then he proceeded to feel and kiss, all over Hassan's body. Brian left, but he forgot to lock the door. He drove back home, thinking about Hassan's naked body throughout the way. Hassan woke up to a call from Ethan, who just wanted to make sure that Hassan was okay and told him that he would be visiting him later. As soon as Hassan hung up, he got a call from Kara. She was calling to check up on him. Kara also wanted to make some changes to the menu of their restaurant. Hassan assured her that she didn't have to ask him for anything. Hassan wanted to do something productive instead of staying in bed all day, and so, he decided to rearrange the room. As he was going through all of the stuff in their room, he stumbled upon an old photo album. He opened it as he had never seen it before. He couldn't stop smiling as the pictures were of John from his time in school. Suddenly, the smile vanished. He saw a picture of Ethan and John kissing. He had asked John repeatedly over the years if he knew Ethan from before, and he always denied it. Hassan was extremely confused, but when he flipped the picture, there was something written. His tears started to flow like a waterfall. He was shocked and was unable to move. It was like time had stopped for him. He had found out that John and Ethan were engaged. He put the album back where he found it and resumed his rearrangement with an awfully heavy heart. Brian had taken the pictures but was unsure what to do with them. He used an app to hide his caller ID to send the photos to John. "I want you to burn in jealousy and doubt, which will only lead to darkness," Brian thought to himself. John received the photos and got so angry that he smashed his phone against the wall. His breathing got heavy as he asked himself why this happened. He stormed out and ended up in a gay bar. He was feeling lost and wanted something to distract him from reality. He started flirting with anyone he could find. He was trying to find ways to hurt Hassan as much as he hurt him. A pair of guys had started talking to him, and they were overtly sexual. They invited John to come over to their place for a fun night. He agreed and went to their place. They immediately started getting physical with John on the couch. He didn't want to kiss anyone, so he unzipped his pants and started touching himself. 10 minutes later, they were completely naked on the bed, grabbing each other of what can only be described as one of the darkest sexual experiences he has ever had. Even though John was with them at the time, all he could think about was Hassan. He was hurt since the man he loved was cheating on him. The confusion and darkness were killing John slowly. He even dropped a few tears. He kept visualizing Hassan with another man, laughing at John while kissing each other. John left that place in the morning. As soon as he was out of the building, he broke down crying. Facing the truth, truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy, Warren Wiersbe Hassan was crying over the pictures he had just discovered. The doorbell rang, but he knew it would be Ethan and he was not interested in talking to him right now. Ethan tried calling Hassan but he wouldn't pick up. Ethan knew about the spare key, and so he opened the door as he was worried about Hassan's health. Hassan shouted, "I want to be alone. You are avoiding me. What happened? What did I do to upset you?" asked Ethan. Hassan angrily replied, "Well, if you are that concerned, why don't you tell me the story of you and John? Were you both engaged?" Ethan was ashamed now that Hassan had discovered their secret. He couldn't lie anymore and resorted to saying yes, as lightly as possible. Hassan wanted to know why he never told him all this before. Ethan explained that he was in a very difficult situation when Hassan chose to be with John. He told him that he loved him from the start and didn't want it to seem like he was trying to cause fights between the two for his personal gain. "You preferred not telling this to me for years. Don't you think I deserve the truth?" asked Hassan. "Do you really want to know? Even if it hurts?" asked Ethan. Hassan replied loudly, "The whole truth." "Okay, I will tell you the short version. John and I loved each other a lot until we got engaged. My control and obsession, coupled with his jealousy, destroyed our relationship. When I went to Turkey, I was in a very bad place because of what happened. When I met you on the plane, I fell in love with you. It was love at first sight. When John figured out my feelings for you, he decided to get his revenge by stealing you away, but instead he fell in love with you during all this," explained Ethan. Hassan felt betrayed by both of them, but Ethan explained that the smile that John would bring on Hassan's face would not allow him to intervene. Ethan wanted the best for both of them. "I was into you too. I was waiting for you to make a move. Now, I am in a serious relationship based on what," said Hassan. Ethan kept apologizing, but Hassan was in no mood for forgiveness. All he could think about was how they lied to him, played with his feelings, and used him for their games. Ethan explained that he never used him and that is why he chose to stay away from all this. He promised Hassan to always be by his side. "If John and I ever break up, I can never do what he did to you and so, I can never be with you," said Hassan. Ethan wasn't worried about that, he just wanted Hassan to be happy. "All of this must have been very hard for you," asked Hassan. "Don't worry about me, I can handle it and I won't make such a mistake again," assured Ethan. Hassan fell asleep in Ethan's arms after a while. Ethan knew that Hassan was probably very tired, but he couldn't stop himself from loving the way Hassan was sleeping in his arms. Even though he can't love him openly, he enjoyed that moment to the fullest. He kept staring at Hassan, observing each breath that he took. He moved closer to him and closed his eyes. Hassan's phone started ringing, but Ethan put it on silent as he fell asleep holding Hassan in his arms. Chapter 4: The Monster Consequences of a Truth Rather Than Love, Than Money, Than Fame. Give me truth, Henry David Thoreau. After a couple of hours, Kyle and Kara had returned home to find Hassan asleep in Ethan's arms. Kara was shocked and thought to herself, "Is Hassan cheating on John?" Ethan woke up and saw the disbelief on Kara's face. He immediately put Hassan on the couch and greeted Kara. "What is going on?" Kara asked. "We had a long conversation and he was crying a lot. I held him to comfort him and we fell asleep," Ethan explained. "Why was he crying?" asked Kara. "I told Hassan about my past with John," Ethan answered.
"What past?"
Kara asked, as this was all new to her. "We were engaged a long time ago. We hid this from everyone, including Hassan, but he found out. I am not a bad guy for hiding that, right?" Ethan asked.
"How are you not the bad guy?" asked Kara.
"I loved Hassan and did not want to hurt him. I always saw what John and him had, and I could not come in between that. I thought John would tell him eventually, but he did not," explained Ethan.
"Tell me everything from the start.
Please do not try to hide anything this time," said Kara. Ethan began to tell his version of the whole story. Kara and Kyle listened carefully. She was worried about the pain that Hassan must be going through. Hassan woke up and approached the group, but they asked him to go back to sleep. After a while, John called and Kara was the one who answered. John wanted to inform Hassan that he would be staying a few more days because of his work. Kara informed him that Hassan was asleep and that he has not been well since the morning. John started worrying about his health, but Kara told him that everything was under control. Ethan wanted to leave because of all the embarrassment, but Kara asked him to stay, to take care of Hassan. She told him that he could borrow some of John's clothes, and Ethan agreed to stay. He went to Hassan's room and knocked on the door.
"Come in," shouted Hassan.
Ethan asked, "Would you mind if I stayed the night with you?"
Hassan replied, "I would like to.
Kara told me you wanted some clothes, but I don't think anything here suits you. You can just keep your underwear on."
"I don't think I will be comfortable in that," replied Ethan.
"Nothing will happen between us.
I trust you, and you know what? I will also roam in my underwear to make you feel comfortable," said Hassan in a reassuring tone.
"How can you trust me? You know that I like you. I have always wanted to cuddle and sleep with you for, at least, a night," said Ethan. Hassan took off his pajamas and laid on the bed. Ethan followed him into bed and held him tightly in his arms. Hassan asked Ethan if he loved him. Ethan looked deep into his eyes and kissed him. "You are driving me crazy," said Ethan. They started feeling each other's body, at which Ethan stopped to ask, "What about John?"
asked Ethan.
"I am with you now," replied Hassan. As they continued, Hassan yelled, "Oh yeah." Ethan woke up and found himself wet, sleeping next to Hassan. Hassan was still asleep in his pajamas and Ethan wearing his clothes, and thought to himself, "It was just a dream." During this time, Kara and Kyle had gone to bed. They were discussing what Hassan was suffering through. Kyle assured Kara that Hassan would be all right since he had her to take care of him. Kara was upset but wanted to enjoy her time with Kyle. She held his hand and asked if he wanted to dance. Kyle was ecstatic and he quickly played "Sway" by Frank Sinatra. Kyle grabbed her by the waist and started to dance to the song. "If you go away on this summer day, then you might as well take the sun away, all the birds that flew in the summer sky when our love was new and our hearts were high and the day was young and the night was long and the moon stood still for the night bird song." As they danced, Kyle closed his eyes to feel the moment. All he could see was her glowing face.
He leaned towards her and paused just before he could feel her lips. He looked at her, but her eyes were closed, that was all the permission he needed, and so, their lips met. At first, he could feel her tenderness, but then she grabbed him by his hair and pulled him towards herself, passionately. She opened her mouth just enough for their tongues to interlock. Kyle picked her up and carried her towards the bed. They started undressing each other and the night took a wild turn. They had found their connection, and they were fervent about each other. Their bodies knew that they were meant for each other. A week had passed, and John had arrived home. The house was filled with silence throughout. No one had anything to say to each other, not even a single word. This was probably the most awkward moment for this household. Hassan was irritated by the awkwardness and so, he excused himself by going downstairs to the basement. Kara told him that she would bring him a snack. "You are not going to say anything to him?" asked Kara in disbelief. "What do you want me to say?" asked John. "You don't have to say anything, he is trying to move on. Kiss him, make love to him. I don't know, but do something."
"Don't you miss him?" asked Kara.
"Of course, I do, but I think he wants to be alone right now," explained John.
"No, he doesn't, he needs you right now," explained Kara.
John replied, "You only care about him.
What about what I need?"
Kara replied, "I want him to be happy and you are his happiness. I care about both of you, but if I had to choose, then he would always come first."
John murmured, "Nobody cares about me."
Kara explained, "That is not true at all. Hassan cares a lot about you and he loves you. Can't you see that?"
John replied, "You are right, I love him too."
Kara replied, "Then go show it to each other.
Stay happy, I care about both of you."
John rushed downstairs and sat behind Hassan. He smelled the back of Hassan's neck and remembered all of their good times. He started to lick Hassan's neck as Hassan closed his eyes. John positioned Hassan's legs around his own waist. Hassan was still hurt and John could see that, but it seemed to turn him on even more. He started kissing Hassan roughly as if he was a lion pouncing on its prey. After a while, John stopped to cuddle Hassan.
"I am sorry for being rough," said John.
"I don't mind anything as long as I am with you," replied Hassan. John's eyes turned to a painting that had not been completed by Hassan. He asked Hassan if that was him in the picture, as the face resembled John's. Hassan confirmed that it was a painting of John.
"But I don't have any pictures like this, how did you draw me so perfectly?" asked John.
"I don't need any pictures to draw the love of my life," Hassan replied.
"I love you, shorty," said John.
"This is the John the first missed, I love you too," said Hassan.
"Are you up for some more action?" asked John while biting his lower lip.
"You don't need to ask," replied Hassan. "I might add more pain to our pleasure.
I know you don't like it when I get rough, but what can I do?
I just want you so badly," explained John.
The two continued making love to each other and things seemed to be heading in the right direction for them.
Some time had passed, Kara wanted to know what the boys were up to and so, she shouted from behind the door, "Are you lovebirds done?
I have made snacks for you guys, please come upstairs when you are ready."
John and Hassan went upstairs immediately, as all that action had made them very hungry.
"You both are positively glowing, good job kids, you made Mama proud," said Kara in joy.
John replied, "Thank you ma'am, can we eat now?
I am famished."
Kara joked, "Haven't you already had your dessert?"
John replied, "Look, you made him blush.
Isn't he adorable when he blushes?"
Hassan intervened, "Stop it, you too."
Kara could see that Hassan was much happier now, she smiled as she felt relieved that her best friend is now okay.
John informed them that he will be visiting his mother and that they should not cook anything as he will bring food on his way back.
"Say hi to her from me and give her a kiss on the forehead," said Hassan, as John headed towards the door. A lost soul, running away was easy, not knowing what to do next was the hard part. Glenda Millard on his way back home, John stopped at a convenience store to get some beverages. Brian was already at the store as if he had planned to be there.
"Hi John, how are you?" asked Brian.
"I am all right, thank you for asking."
"How about yourself?" asked John.
"I am well. Look, I wanted to apologize for my behavior on the first day when I moved in with you guys," said Brian.
"What are you apologizing for?" asked John.
Brian replied, "I was drunk when I found you sleeping in your room. I was naked when I was approaching you, but Hassan came and handled the situation really well. I am sorry, but I was drunk, I don't know what happened to me that day."
"What are you talking about?" asked John.
"Oh. I am sorry, I thought Hassan already told you all this," said Brian.
"What happened exactly?"
John asked as he was getting impatient by the second.
"Well, I was drunk," said Brian, but John interrupted him,
"Yeah, you made that very clear, tell me what did you do?"
"I tried to have sex with both of you but, thank God, Hassan stopped me," explained Brian.
"Get out of my face before I do something stupid to you," yelled John in extreme frustration. Brian apologized again, and walked away, however, he had a sinister smile on his face as if he had just made a deal with the devil. He knew he was successful in getting John angry. John had started breathing heavily as he hastily got in his car. He drove quite rashly while his mind kept filling with negative thoughts. He reached home and bashed through the front door. John screamed at the top of his lungs,
"Hassan! Come here right now!"
Hassan hurried to the door, Kara also followed behind.
"What happened?
Are you okay?" asked Hassan.
"You are such a liar and manipulator, how could you lie to me?" asked John.
"What are you talking about?" asked Hassan.
"Why didn't you tell me what happened between you and Brian, on the first day he moved?"
asked John.
"Kara, please go to your room," asked Hassan as he did not want to create a scene in front of her.
"Why?"
"She needs to know how you manipulate people," exclaimed John in anger.
Hassan, now getting angry, yelled, "Shut up.
You have no right to call me a liar or manipulator."
"Then why didn't you tell me?
What else are you hiding from me?" asked John.
"As far as I remember, I told you what happened the next day, the only thing that I didn't tell you was that it was Brian," said Hassan.
"Flipping the truth, as always.
I am sick and tired of you using me and my feelings," said John.
"You have no right to call me names.
I should be calling you manipulative, you lied to me from the start of our relationship," said Hassan.
"What are you talking about?" asked John.
"I am talking about you and Ethan," said Hassan in disappointment.
"What? HH, how do you know about this?"
"I will kill Ethan," yelled John in anger.
Hassan, with tears in his eyes, explained, "He didn't tell me anything.
I found your photo album.
Did you ever love me for real?"
John took a deep breath and replied, "I know what I did was extremely stupid, but I genuinely fell in love with you.
You just used me to get your revenge on your ex."
Hassan cried.
"I love you," John said, trying to defuse the situation.
"You lied to me," accused Hassan.
"You lied to me too," said John.
Hassan replied, "When did I ever lie to you?" John had to think of something other than blaming Hassan for cheating. The reason being, if they both cheated on each other, John was afraid of losing Hassan forever. He was thinking of what to say.
"Answer me," shouted Hassan.
John had to say something, so he used the wooden box. "You lied about your secret box, didn't you?"
Hassan looked at John with disgust and then rushed upstairs to get the wooden box.
Hassan opened the box and asked, "You want to know what is inside this box, right?"
Kara intervened, "Hassan, please calm down."
Hassan was crying as he pulled out a half-burnt picture from the box.
"This picture is of my sister, I found it under the wreck after the explosion destroyed my house."
Then Hassan pulled out a broken pocket watch, "This was my father's watch."
Then he took out a journal which was still ashy from the burns, "This is my mother's journal."
Then he took out a bracelet, this was my brother's. Then he took out a watch, this was my first love's watch. I took it after the militia slaughtered him. These are the only memories that I have of my family, the loved ones I buried with my own hands. This is all I have left of them. I am so sorry, I had no idea, explained John. Hassan replied with a weak voice, are you happy now? I never lied to you. I just wanted to keep my darkness to myself, but I clearly failed. Hassan gathered all of his memories and placed them back inside the box. He went to the basement to put away the box. John tried to follow him, but Kara stopped John from leaving. You have done enough, said Kara. But. Kara interrupted John, leave him alone. You have already done enough damage. I cannot believe you sometimes. How could you do this to him? I am an idiot, I know. I got carried away, explained John. I hope you are happy now, said Kara. But I love him, said John. I don't believe you anymore, said Kara, highly disappointed with John. Kara went to the basement to talk to Hassan, but she found out that he was not there. She immediately shouted for John. John ran downstairs and they realized that Hassan had left a while ago. They ran outside to look for him, but it was raining heavily and Hassan was nowhere in sight. John started blaming Kara for not letting him follow Hassan. You have already done enough, the reason he left is you. We need to find him first, then we can talk about all this, explained Kara. Kara called Ethan to ask for his help in finding Hassan. Ethan was on a date with Andrew, the doctor from the hospital he and Hassan visited. Kara asked for his help and explained that Hassan left in a disturbed state. Ethan told her that he knows where he would find Hassan. I am so sorry, but this date is over. I need to go, it is an emergency, explained Ethan. Is everything okay? Asked Andrew. Hassan is missing and we are all trying to look for him. I am so sorry that I have to go, said Ethan. Andrew insisted on going with Ethan to look for Hassan. I am sorry for ruining our first date, said Ethan. Don't worry, you will get many chances in the future to make it up, said Andrew. Ethan and Andrew got in the car to begin their search. Ethan was driving like a maniac and Andrew kept trying to calm him down. Shortly, they arrived at the Lake Ontario Park. Andrew asked what they were going to do there. Ethan assured him that they would find Hassan here. They found him sitting on a bench, holding his box, and he was talking to someone. It seemed like Hassan had been sitting there for a while as he was completely drenched in the rain. Ethan got a closer look and could not believe what he saw. Andrew asked Ethan who Hassan was talking to. Ethan said he would explain it to him later and that he should wait for him to deal with Hassan. Ethan sat beside Hassan and moved his umbrella over Hassan's head. Ethan had never seen him like this, it was heartbreaking. Ethan knew that Hassan felt shattered. He only wondered what had happened to Hassan. It's time to go home, Hassan, said Ethan. I don't want to go home, replied Hassan. You can come over to my place, explained Ethan. Hassan turned to his friend and said, take me with you, I don't want to be here anymore. Ethan slapped Hassan's face and yelled, you are not going anywhere. Do you hear me? You are not going with him. Ethan dragged Hassan to the car and wrapped him in a towel as he put Hassan on the back seat. Ethan informed Kara that he would be taking Hassan to his place for a few days and that he will come by to pick up Hassan's things from their house. Andrew asked Ethan if they were going to his place, to which Ethan replied yes. I am sorry for the trouble you guys faced because of me, said Hassan. Andrew replied, don't worry, we are all right. Ethan jumped in quickly to say, I want to be sure that you are all right, Hassan, you will be staying with me for a few days. I don't want to bother you, Hassan replied. You can never, you are my family, don't ever forget that, said Ethan. I know that, I don't know how to thank you, said Hassan. We will go pick up your things first, if you need anything in particular, let me know, said Ethan.
As they went to Hassan's house, Ethan kept checking his rearview to keep an eye on him. He was so tensed about Hassan, he had forgotten all about Andrew. Andrew had figured that Ethan has feelings for Hassan, but he was confused because Ethan always called him family. Andrew was having a hard time understanding their relationship and he didn't want to be in the middle of something so upsetting. Hassan had fell asleep during the ride and Ethan noticed that he was shivering. "You're in love with him, aren't you?" asked Andrew. "Yes, is it that obvious?" "It's a long story, but Hassan and I will never be together," explained Ethan.
"What do you mean?" asked Andrew.
"Hassan and I can only be family or friends, nothing more than that," explained Ethan.
"I understand," said Andrew.
"If you don't want to see me again, that makes sense," explained Ethan.
"Well, I can never compete with him," said Andrew.
"You could be more if you want to," explained Ethan.
"No one knows what the future holds," said Andrew.
They had arrived at Hassan's house and so, Ethan went inside to get his things. Kara asked Ethan about Hassan's condition. He informed her that he is asleep in the car, although he was completely drenched in the rain when Ethan found him.
John had also joined in on the conversation.
"Where did you find him?" asked John.
"I am not talking to you, I feel like punching you in the face so hard," said Ethan.
"Go for it," dared John.
"Both of you shut up."
"John, please don't aggravate the situation further," said Kara.
"This is between my boyfriend and I, Ethan has no right to interfere in all this," explained John.
"You have involved me in all of this by keeping our past a secret from him.
Hassan will never do what you did to me.
He is a much better person than you will ever be.
Anyway, there is no point in arguing, please give me his clothes and medicines, he will be staying with me for a while," explained Ethan.
"I cannot allow this," said John.
Ethan explained, "He doesn't want to be with you right now, please give him some space, he really needs it."
John understood that Ethan was right and so, he went to grab Hassan's things. Kara apologized to Ethan for asking help. Ethan was only interested in finding out what had happened.
Kara promised to tell him at a better time.
"I cannot imagine what he has been through, he looked so fragile when I found him, he even had his box of memories with him," explained Ethan.
"Do you know what is inside that box?" asked Kara.
"Yes, he showed it to me when my mother passed away.
He was the only one who helped me during that phase," explained Ethan.
"You do understand what you and John did to Hassan was very wrong?" asked Kara.
"I know, I tried to tell him, but whenever I see him with John, the smile on Hassan's face is invaluable.
I don't want to be the person who takes away that smile," explained Ethan.
"It wasn't the right choice," explained Kara.
Ethan agreed, but it was too late now. John brought Hassan's things and handed them over to Ethan.
Ethan thanked him, said his goodbyes and departed for his car.
He switched the ignition on, started driving and headed to his place with Hassan asleep in his back seat.